When it says the gift, it always links that one with interpretation. So it's tongues and interpretation. And last week we had tongues and interpretation. I think I didn't see who said it, but it was time to, what was the message at the end of the sermon? Get your house in order. That's definitely the case. It's time to get our house in order. And my message in second service is along those lines. Encouragement, leadership. So those are some of the things that are listed as gifts of the Spirit. And I outlined the difference between gifts and fruit of the Spirit. Anyone remember what I said, the difference between a gift of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit? Well, a gift you have right away, but that doesn't mean you know how to use it. Fruit of the Spirit only comes after a mature time. That means when you plant a seed, you don't get the fruit right away. So the fruits of the Spirit are the effect or are the proof of your Christian walk with God, that you exhibit kindness, joy, love, all those things. When you first come to God, you may not feel loving or kind or all of those things, but if you let the Spirit work on you, you should be transformed. We are should be being transformed from a son of man into what? Son of God. That's what we're supposed to be transformed in, so that we become Christ. That we become Christ. Evangelist, pastor, teacher. So now let's look at this. Why don't the gifts work for me? The Bible said that when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. So some people have more than one. But it's not being used. It's not being used. Let's see some examples in Scripture of God in a parable where talents were given. Some talents were given. In Matthew 25:16, Jesus told a parable, a story about a rich man, and he gave some talents to different people. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. There was someone who was given 5 talents, and he took what he was given and worked with it. And he was able to multiply the gifts, the talents he was given. And there was someone else who was given only 2 talents, but he took the 2 that he had been given, and he gained another 2. He gained another 2. This was the scripture we read in before. It says, therefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So in this story, one was given 5. He used what he was given and managed to double it. Another one was only given 2, but he used what he was given and he doubled it. And of course, you know the story, but there was one person who was only given 1. And what he did with it, he went and dug a hole, and covered it up. Here's the other reason why your gift's not manifesting. Because you're not faithful in the small things. You want to go out and lay hands on the blind and their eyes be opened. I'm going to tread on some toes today. But you won't do the small things, right? That's not how it works. You know, it doesn't work that way. You don't plant a seed and get the tree the next day. You have to be faithful in the small things if you want your gift to manifest. Because the gifts are powerful. Anything that is powerful is also dangerous. Electricity is powerful, but it's also what? Right. It's dangerous. And if people are given gifts and they don't know how to use it, do you know that they can do a tremendous amount of damage? Suppose you are given a revelation about someone. You get up in church and saying blah, 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 blah. Suppose that wasn't what you were supposed to do. Suppose you were to go to that person privately and tell them what God told you. You've just misused the gift and you've caused damage. I'm going to get to that. Number 2, why your gift's not manifesting is because you want to have eyes opened, ears opened, but you won't do the small things. Some people only come to church second service. I don't need to be taught anything. I knew someone who said that no one saved them. They just kind of received it. But even the great apostle Paul was told by God, go to Damascus, someone is going to come and tell you what to do. You cannot be a leader before you be a servant. Jesus proved that. He took off his garments. The creator of the universe started washing his disciples' feet. Humility. So one of the reasons why the gifts do not manifest is because we haven't been faithful in the small things. This is what Jesus said. Look, when the Lord returns, in Matthew 25:20, the one who had given the gifts. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you gave unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over what? A few things. So now you know what? I'm going to bless you with a whole bunch more. You want these big gifts to manifest, yet you will not be faithful in the little things. That will not work. Although you have the gift, it will be stunted. You will not be able to manifest. It will not really fully come out. You may even know you have the gift and wonder why is it things are not happening? Because you're not being faithful in the smaller things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Well, that person's got 5 talents. They can do all this stuff. I only got 2, so I'm not going to do nothing. Wrong attitude. I can only clean the church. I can't do anything, so I'm not going to do nothing. And as I'm sorry to keep using you guys as an example, but that's such a blessing when I come in here and you're singing and cleaning and are happy. That's such a blessing. You're using what God gave you to the fullest. And so because when you're faithful over the small things is when the other things will come to. His Lord said, the one who only got 2, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Let's think about the few things that we're not doing, but we want God to do big things for us. That's not how it works. I'm giving you a key to the manifestation of your gift. We need to examine ourselves and say, Lord, is there some small things that I know you want me to do, but I've just been ignoring? But I want you to give me this big gift of prophecy that I can know things, that I can give word of wisdom. Yeah, then everyone will know that I've got a gift. That's not how it works. No. Gifts won't work fully or operate if you have been unfaithful in small things. I was tired when I wrote this. That's why it doesn't quite make sense. It was late at night, so I'm interpreting what I've written. That's my gift. Okay. Because the purpose of the gifts is not for you. It's not for you to make you, you know. Now, you see many of these tele-evangelists. You know their names, Benny Hinn, all these people. Some of them actually have real gifts. But they've made the gifts all about them. I always look at churches that have the name of the pastor as the name of the church, kind of strange, like Solomon's Temple. I think it should be Jesus' temple, shouldn't it be? I don't understand those churches where the name of the church is actually the name of the founder of the church. Because that should be Jesus. So gifts, you're asking why the gifts don't work. Another key is because you've not been faithful over the small things. And I don't want to name all the small things because I could. But there's a lot of small things people are not faithful over, but they want to go lay hands and pray for people and suddenly miracles happen. Jesus said to the guy who had the one gift, listen, you weren't faithful. I'm not giving you any more. To the one that had 2, he said, because you used what you were given and were faithful, I'm going to give you so much more. So much more. It's really like, and I don't know who remembers this, but that cartoon character Richie Rich, right? You younger ones probably don't know about that. But in the cartoon, he was always trying to get rid of his money. Because if he could get rid of his money, he had so much more money that was supposed to come to him. But he could never get rid of it. The more he tried to get rid of it, the more it kept on coming back. Isn't that what Jesus said? Freely I've given to you, so what? That's what we're supposed to do. But you know what we do? Well, pastor didn't acknowledge me, so I'm not going to do nothing. Pastor forgot to call my name, so I'm not going to do no more. Tell you the truth, I can't reward you. Did you know that? I cannot reward you, actually. I can't. It's any blessing comes from God, not from me. Okay, let's go on. The gifts, the purpose of the gifts are for the edification of the church, not to puff myself out and be some big-time conference speaker. Come forward and let me lay hands on you, receive, and you know, push you over. Get some people to catch you. Look at this. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that he may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. Right? So if we speak in tongues, we're edifying ourselves, but it's not doing anybody else any good. That's what it's saying. And that's okay. I'm not trying to quench the spirit, but we do not want to be get so out of hand that the service is disrupted and people who come in who don't understand what's going on think we're all crazy. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And sometimes you just have to tell people to sit down because they're letting, it's not they're bad people, they're just letting their emotions take over instead and getting into their flesh. Okay? But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men for the purpose of the gifts is for the growth and the edification of the church. Not to show you're super spiritual and you have Superman powers and can leap over tall buildings. That's not what it's for. It's not for personal glory. So another thing that will stop the manifestation of your gifts is if you have the wrong attitude to what you're trying to achieve. If you're looking at it, wow, look what I can do. It won't happen. The Bible says he will not give his glory to another. Any gifts that you're given, you have to exercise them with humility, not for personal show, not because. And so a lot of times when I pray, I almost say, God, do not let anything, this is bad, this is just me. I almost say, Lord, don't let it happen when I'm praying for this person alone, because I don't want my flesh to get thinking it was me. I rather pray for people when a whole bunch of people are praying for them, then no one can get the glory. You know, this flesh is so susceptible to pride. It's so easy. It's so easy to think yourself something. The truth is, all of us do. Be honest. You think you're special. And in God's eyes, you are, but you're not supposed to think that. You know, it's so easy to claim God's glory. It's so easy to think, man, look at me. Look what I can do. Nebuchadnezzar tried that, even though he was warned. He was warned. Listen, the fact that you've been able to conquer the known world, the fact that you are now the king of the known world, it wasn't so much you. God allowed you to do it. You better be careful, Nebuchadnezzar. So a year later, he goes out on his palace and he looks over this huge Babylonian empire, his city, and he says, look at all this that I have done. I have done. And immediately, the Bible says, judgment fell. Sister Anita? All right. Come on up.
You know, listen, everybody in here knows how old I am, and I'm telling you, it is amazing how God works. He floored me for 23 years. Here I am, thinking that I was in control of my life, my children's life, and everybody around me. He let me know. He knocked me down to my knees and made me stay there for 23 years in the underground. I'm thinking I'm having a ball, not even realizing I'm not. I am now understanding and recognizing God like I should have been doing all my life. I can't hardly breathe. without giving him the praise and the glory that he so rightly deserves. I've never been an egotistical person. I never walked around proud or anything, but I still thought that I was in control. I'm not. I wasn't. Amen. The nerve of me. Okay.
The speaker yesterday was hitting that point so strongly. One of our church mission statements is about sonship. And he hit that very strongly yesterday. There's a difference between even being a Christian and walking in sonship. And he gave many examples. But when we get to that point where it's not about us, we're here to serve, we're here to do his will. And that I'm gonna give you some more keys of why your gifts won't work. It's not for personal glory. It's if you have a gift, it's for the edification of the church. It's for the blessing of the church. Okay, now you can have a great gift. I tried to find a Mercedes-Benz, I couldn't, but anyway. You can have a Mercedes-Benz, you can be given a great, great gift, but if you are not able to use it, that's what the scripture was saying. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. See, so you may have this wonderful gift, but you have not developed in maturity yet to use it. And if you try using it now, you know what you'll do? You're going to hurt yourself or hurt someone else. And that's why a lot of pastors are afraid of spiritual gifts, because they can either build up a church or destroy it. And so I'm encouraging spiritual gifts if it's directed and lines up with God's word. So gifts can be dangerous with the unskilled, right? The pastor yesterday gave an example. He said, would you give a chainsaw to a six-month baby or a toddler? Why wouldn't you do that? It's dangerous. Now, in the hands of a skilled person, you can do a lot. You can cut down trees. You can build a house. Right? It can do some good. So the gifts are powerful, but they're dangerous. So you understand why your father may not give you the gift or let the gift manifest. If he sees that you're not mature enough yet, you might hurt yourself or hurt someone else. See? Gifts in the wrong hands. This happened in the book of Acts. In Acts 19:4, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And he had some sons who thought they were going to manifest the gifts of casting out demons. But they were not mature or able to really do it. And so it turned out to be a disaster for them. And the evil spirit said unto them, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out that house naked and wounded. So gifts will not manifest if your heavenly father thinks you're not ready for using it properly. Because he knows you may just hurt yourself or someone else. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. So now, how do we get the gifts to manifest? We have to be submitted. Be submitted. The power of the gifts only manifests in full submission. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and then he will flee. So it's only when we are totally submitted to God. Because the gifts only actually come from or are generated by the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's not us. The king had to give the talents to the servants. They didn't have them. He gave it to them, Sister Johnny.
I was going to say that it seems like, too, the gifts only operate, like you say, it's like when your life is lined up right with God's will, and also to have the right kind of heart with the right kind of intention, because the scripture says you ask, but you ask amiss. So it's like you have this gift that God has given you, but it's not activated because your life is not right with Christ. And also, like, you have people who they have a gift, but they can't use it because God is trying to show them that you can't use the gift that I have given you until you submit yourself totally to me. You know, you say that you want to, like, I'll give an example of how, because it's not in me because God has taken it out of me, and I won't allow someone to put it back in me because they have a problem with a certain person, but I continue to show this person love and continue to do things to help them or whatever. And they say, you know, you must be crazy. You continue to do things for this person and help them, but they're not helping themselves. And I have to tell them, it's not about me. Because if it's about me, yeah, I wouldn't do nothing for you and wouldn't give a care of what you're doing or how you're doing it. But it's all about, we have to make sure we're going to show the love of Christ.
Amen.
Not our own selves, not our own wills. We've been bought with a price. So we have to glorify God in everything that we do. If we're doing something that we say we're doing it for the church, then we shouldn't expect something back if it's being done for the church. We shouldn't have to want somebody to repay us for doing this if it came from our heart.
Amen.
But the question is, did it really come from your heart, or are you trying to put yourself on display so that you can be made known?
Amen. The speaker yesterday gave an example. He talked about truly submitting. And as he was talking, you know, he actually convicted me because he was asking about forgiveness. And I really was listening to him, and I was searching myself. Is there anybody that I really, or he said, are there people here, you're speaking to pastors, it was all pastors. He said, are there any pastors, well, he didn't say pastors, but is there anyone here who is carrying hurts or are angry at God? Or are you angry at God, you know, because a loved one died or because some circumstance happened? And I honestly examined myself and I said, Lord, I'm not there. Anything you have done, I deserved it. That's just, I don't have no anger at God. But then he said, do you trust God? Do you trust God? And when he said that, you know, I said, yes, there's a part of me that there's a little part here that I don't trust God. But let me explain when I say that. I trust God. The reason why I have doubt is because of me. It's me I don't trust. And when I don't trust me, then I think, well, then will God do it if I don't trust me? And he said he had this problem too. And he realized that he had to submit everything to God. He gave an example. He said, you all might think this is crazy. But I even asked God in the morning how I'm to dress. And he gave an example of what happened. He said, he went one Sunday morning, he speaks at many churches, he went somewhere, one place, and he was going to put on this shirt, and he put on the shirt, and then something said, no, change the shirt, put on this shirt and this tie. And he went to the service, and while he was there, this woman came in, and he noticed she was just staring at him in a strange way. At the end of the service, she came forward and asked to be prayed for, and they prayed for her, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she came up to him and said, her mother had been trying to get to her to come for a long time. She can tell the story better. And she finally came because she had a vision. And in the vision, she saw him dressed a certain way. And if he had not changed and put on what it was she saw, he would not have fulfilled the vision. And so from that point, he says, I try and ask God for everything I do. Everything. It may sound silly. Should I go buy some bread? I know it sounds silly, but your level of submission is how much your gifts will be manifest. It's your level of submission that will show how much you're. So he made the case, I you know, for even submitting, well, he said, you might think this is extremist and a fanatic that I ask God in the morning now how I should dress. But after that incident, when the lady came and said, it was seeing him dressed exactly the way she saw him in the vision that convinced her to come forward. If he had not listened to the voice of God, she would have come in and said, no, he looks a bit like him, but he's not dressed the same. And he made this point, it's how much you're submitting. So he came to that conclusion that he has to submit everything. And he gave another example. That's why I'm encouraging you guys to go and hear him tonight. He said he had got this 57 antique car that was his pride and joy that he'd spent years putting together. And I forgot who it was, another pastor or missionary came by, and the Lord told him, you got to give it away. And he said, he thought, there must be another voice. That must be the devil. You know why? Because he didn't want to give it away. The voice said, if you are asked, you have to give this away. Could you tell the story? Because you can tell it better than me. I don't remember it. Please, she can tell. I've been up late, so I can't remember everything, so.
Well, when he started to argue with the Lord, and the point that he made very particularly is that when we do that, when we argue with God, you kind of shut down that flow. And so when he began to argue with the Lord, the Lord said to him, if he says, boy, I'd really like to have a car like this, if he says those words, then you know it's me, you have to give it. So anyway, he showed the young man the car and he had him sit in it and said, oh, this is really beautiful. Then he got out and he left. And so the pastor said, he just went,
all right.
He didn't say it, so I don't have to give it. But he met with him again a few days later, and the young man said to him, can I just see that car one more time? And so he said, sure, okay. So he took him out and had him sit in it, and he looked again at everything, and then he sat back in the seat and said, boy, I'd really like to have a car like this. And then, so that was it. He knew he had to give the car away.
And he gave the car to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he said this, since that time, God has opened up his ministry. You see, when you're faithful in what we think are, you know, we don't think are small, a car is a small thing to God, actually. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Naked I come, and naked I'm going to go. We can't take any. Everything belongs to him.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead.
But I just want to say this, Pastor, because it's very important. Because things we think that we have, we think it belongs to us. But we have to realize that it don't belong to us. And you hear so many people arguing about tithes and offering. And God said, how shall a man rob God in his tithes and offering? You know, we think that we have these bills that we got to pay, you know, and we haven't even given God the first. Because God want the first. He don't want the last of your giving. He don't want you to give after you done paid all your bills and now you feel comfortable that you got this left over. And you're going to give that to God. No, God wants your first. He wants you to trust him. And somebody told me this even before I got saved and I couldn't see it. I was like, wow, man, I got to pay my bills. I ain't got enough money left, you know, to give God. But I started to, you know, just really try to do that. Give God first. And I realized once I started to give God first, I realized that I began to have left over for whatever I wanted to do with it. You
Amen.
Know, but I think that it's very important that the church began to just really trust God. Really put your trust in God. When you get your paycheck, before you do anything, don't worry about what man got and what man gonna do to you, because God says he is the one who will supply your every need if you give God first. And I have done that in my life, and I'm telling you, I can't even explain it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, this church, we don't make a big deal of money. I hope you know that. That's why I hardly ever touch it. Tuesday nights, we don't even really collect an official offering. I just say whatever you have. But God always has taken care. We've never had to You know, God has always provided. He always comes through. As I told you, I could tell you just testimony after testimony. Just 1-2 months ago, I told you the state sent me a bill for $12,000, right? And then they sent, after I prayed about it, I sent them in a letter. They say, canceled. You don't owe us anything. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? See, the power of the gifts will only manifest when we give it to God. How did the 5,000 get fed? The little boy kept his loaves? He could say, this isn't even enough for me. He submitted it to Jesus. Jesus prayed, and the miracle started happening. The miracle started happening. You will not manifest your gifts until you are totally submitted to God. Submitted to God. The gifts are supposed to flow through you, not emanate from you. Here's what Paul says in Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by the word. Through mighty signs and wonders. How? By the power of the Spirit of God. That's how it happens. The gifts is not from you, it's through you. It's through you from the Father. But if you're going to be dangerous, the Father not going to give it to you. You know, if I have a power tool, no matter how much my toddler wants it, please, Daddy, can I have? No. You don't know how to operate it. You may kill someone. You're dangerous. So it's only when we are mature, when we understand what the gift is for, when we understand that it's not for us, when we have humility, will these gifts operate? Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul was saying that, yes, he's manifested these gifts, but he acknowledged it. And the one time he was starting to get proud, you know what happened? 2 Corinthians 12. Could somebody read it for me? I didn't put it in the lesson. He explained what happened. God, if you're humble, will give you an injection. He'll give you a thorn in the flesh. That's what happened to Paul, because he could have gotten so big-headed. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. I went to the best universities, the best colleges. I can speak fluent Greek. I can tell you about all the Greek philosophers. And then on top of that, I've got all this mighty power and this great revelations that have been given to me. 2 Corinthians 12:1, if anyone has got it, if someone could read it out real loud for, come to the mic.
Now concerning spiritual okay. gifts, brethren.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren.
I do not want you to be ignorant.
I don't want you to be ignorant.
You know that you were Gentiles.
You were Gentiles.
Carried away to dumb idols.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
These are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord.
Okay, hold it there. That was the scripture on the gifts. Now, I want to explain to you what Paul had to go through to stop himself getting out of hand. This is 2 Corinthians 12:1. It is not expedient for me to doubtless glory. I will come to vision. He was saying, listen, I could tell you about all the great revelations I've been given that no one else has ever received. Mysteries. Let me read it in a more modern translation. This is in the New International. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. He explained how that 14 years ago, when they had stoned him, remember he got stoned and was left for dead, that he was caught up to the third heaven. He doesn't even know if he was in the body or in the spirit. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. Verse 4, was caught up to paradise. He was saying, listen, if I was wanting to boast, I could tell you that I went up to heaven. Right? And so he had a problem. He had a problem. So God gave him an inoculation. And many of us have inoculations. You know why? to keep us humble. There's some things you may pray for and God has not taken it away. You know why? To keep you humble. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. And many of us have thorns in the flesh, and it's the reason why is to keep us humble so we don't get big-headed. It says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Because this flesh can start to talk to you and tell you, you know, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. You're pretty smart. Looking good there. Listen to them. They think you're good. It's so easy for this flesh to get a hold of your soul. Paul said, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart. He prayed, listen, I don't like this. Take it away from me. But God said, my grace, that means what? Unmerited favor. Unmerited is enough. My strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Now, sometimes, and he said something else yesterday that I want to bring forth. Iniquity. What is iniquity? Sin, that's one definition. That's one definition, but it also means self-will. So believe it or not, we commit iniquity. Anytime we are not submitted and are in self-will. He calls some Christians workers of iniquity. Not because they were going out and shooting people, but just because they were not submitted. You can be a worker of iniquity, because that's the other meaning, self-willed. The Bible says the carnal mind, he quoted that, is enmity with God. These gifts will not work if we are self-willed. Paul said in verse 19, I'm going to move on, through mighty signs and wonders, by, not by me, Paul, by the power. One time Paul went into a city and he did a miracle and the priests came out and started treating them as gods, started to bow down to them. We're going to sacrifice animals to them because they started to think, wow, the gods have come down amongst us. Paul had to quickly put an end to it. Wait. No. We're not gods. Please don't do that. Don't treat me as a god. I'm just a human being. This was done by the power of the Spirit. We have, the Bible says, in all our ways we have to do what? Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Anything good that happens to us, it's not because of our intelligence, our job, our skill. In all thy ways. All thy ways acknowledge Him. And then He will do what? Direct our path. The gifts will flow when we understand the true source. If we think we're the source, that is not going to work. Not going to work. Through mighty signs and power. So what we need is for the father to train. You can't give a toddler a chainsaw and just let him at it. No. We have to let the father show us. Here's an example. Perfect example. Jesus said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth, what? The Father do. That means you got to be looking at the Father. If you can't be seeing what the Father does, if you're not looking at the, if you're looking at yourself, you're looking at someone else, you're looking at your job, wherever your priority is, that's where you're going to learn from. Some people's priority is their job, so they do anything to get ahead. Okay, let me see. What can I do? Work 80 hours a week. But Jesus said, I can do nothing except what He seeth the Father do. That means He's got to be looking. We have got to be looking unto Jesus, the scripture says, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. For whatsoever things He doeth, these also the Son. So whatever we see the Father does. Jesus said, I must work the work of Him that sent me. And when He said, well, you can't be working on the Sabbath. He says, well, the Father never stops working. I mean, if God was to stop working, the universe would cease to be. The Father never stops working. Why do you think I should stop working? So this is the key for the manifestation of the gifts. We have to look to the Father as the source. You don't just, he's not going to give you a chainsaw and say, go at it, go build a house. No, you're going to grow and be able to learn how to use the gift effectively. My father used to tell a story of a guy who invited someone to church. And he said, I can't come because I don't have a suit. I don't have the proper clothes to come to church. And the guy said, well, it's no problem. Look, I'm going to lend you my suit. I'm going to lend you my suit. You can come to church. So the man came to church, and with some hesitation came, and it was time for prayer. And they got off the pews and they all knelt. And the guy who lent him the suit, hey, don't kneel down in my suit. Put a pad underneath it. So of course he was real upset and embarrassed and said to himself, I'm never coming back to that church. As he was going out, another guy came up to him and he said, you know, I am really tremendously sorry for what that guy did. He was so ignorant. I'm so sorry about that. You know, listen, please, give us another chance. Come and visit us again. Listen, you can have my suit. There won't be no problem. So the next Sunday he came back, and it was time for prayer again. But of course, he remembered what happened the previous Sunday, and so he was hesitant to go and kneel down. So the guy who lent him the suit this time shouted out, no, you can go ahead. It's my suit. It's okay. You can kneel down. You know, there's an example of a gift misused. I don't think he would come back the third time. You understand what I'm saying? We have to learn to use the gifts so that they build up the body of Christ, not destroy it. Amen? We have to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We have to learn to be kind, loving, welcoming. Sister Johnny.
Also, you can't expect to use the gift if you're not in obedience to the man of God, because the Lord has put you under someone else, because he says you can't come to the Father whom you can't see and say you love him when you can't even love the man of God who is the head over the church. And also to disrespectful and not listening to him and being disrespectful to the first lady. You have to be in total subjection to God in order to use the gift.
Well, amen. I'll tell you this, that in the 28 years when I was in Michigan, I was always in subjection to my pastor. And you've seen, he's come here and preached before. And the one thing he will tell you is, and Eric is here too. He can witness it. They didn't want us to leave. Did they? No. And there were times when he corrected me from the pulpit too. I didn't get mad and said, I'm never coming back to that church. That was good for me because it taught me humility. It taught me humility. You know, and the thing about him I respect is that he's also a very humble person. He will tell you, he doesn't care about where he came from. He'll tell you how dirt poor they were, and, you know, they had holes in their rooms because he grew up in Mississippi. And the one thing I would put him on a pedestal for was his humility. He did not hide his past. But you cannot be, let me say that, you cannot be a leader until you first learn to be a follower. You cannot. You just cannot. And you have to be a follower. You have to be a follower first. Joshua followed Moses obediently for 40 years. 40 years. But then his time came. And if God has got a gift for you, the Bible says to wait patiently on your gift, right? If you try and grab the chainsaw when you're a toddler, you may do so much damage. You know, I became a pastor kind of late in life. I was 53. But I don't think I was ready before that. If you had seen me like 10 years before that, I was probably more hell and damnation. You sin, God should just strike you dead. But God had to get me to the place where I had more grace, more mercy. I was too judgmental of people. I had to learn through experience certain things before I was ready to be a pastor. Otherwise, I don't think I would have been a very good pastor. I'd have been too judgmental. So God has a perfect timing for the revelation of your gift. He has a perfect timing for it. There's no rush with God. If we're submitted to Him, if we're totally dependent upon Him, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. If you could stand with me, we're going to try and start finishing right at 11:30 so that we can start on time. Amen. The Father will train the Son. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. The key there is what He seeth the Father do. That means we have to be looking. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You want the gifts to operate? Remember the things I said. Take care of the small things. Be faithful in the small things to God. Be able to say, God, I've done everything You asked me for. That's just how it works. No one is going to give you more stuff unless you've taken care of the stuff you were already supposed to take care of. Right? In any job, until you finish the work you're already given, you're not going to come back and say, I want more. They're going to say, well, wait a minute. You haven't done what you were supposed to do. That's how it works. We want all these things, but we need to be faithful in the small things. We need to remember it's not for us. We need to remember who it's really for. We need to remember that God wants to flow through us. When we have gotten to that place spiritually, then we will get a great deal. You've been faithful in the small things. I'm going to give you a whole lot more. I'm going to make you ruler over many. God is so merciful and so great. And He wants us to be used. He wants the body to be used. But it has to be according as the scripture said, according to the word. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank You today for being at Rehoboth. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. Let it be understood. Let it find good soil. We lift up Your name, O God. We just thank You for the gifts You have given us. Let there be a manifestation, Lord God, in each and every one of our lives that You will use us to the fullest. We just thank You right now for what You're doing. We give You all the praise and the glory in Jesus.